On the 17th of March, Radek Hanikovich would have celebrated his 38th birthday. Radek had known for some time that his lung cancer was untreatable, but his death on the 30th of January still came as a shock to his family and friends. A few months before he died, he published a book that tells the bleak and moving tale of the last 10 years of his life. The book's title, which translates as Drugs Aren't Worth Dying For, more than hints at the subject matter. But this is not another story of drug addiction.
Detention Center, Bombat Pisat, Thailand, March 4, 1996. I've been in a detention cell at the police station for several days. It's about 20 meters square, and alongside two foreigners, Derek from Germany and Tomas from Sweden, and 10 Thais, I have the company of thousands of mosquitoes, hundreds of cockroaches the size of ripe plums, and occasionally a family of fat rats push their heads up through a hole in the wooden floor. I hadn't expected it, but there's almost a kind of solidarity among the people here. The Thais even share the food that their families and friends have brought them, and they try to communicate with us.
These are the opening lines of Radek Hanikovich's diary. Dreaming of instant riches, he had taken a decision that he was to regret for the rest of his life. After a chance encounter in Amsterdam, he agreed to become a drug courier, smuggling heroin from Thailand to Europe. He was carrying nearly 2.5 kilograms of the drug when he was caught at Bangkok Airport in March 1996, trying to get on a flight bound for Finland. 8 years in a Thai jail followed, during which he kept a diary, recording details of prison life and also his gradual coming to terms with his crime. The diary was recently published in Prague by Albatross.
March 17, 1996. I've sent 3 letters home and every day I long for a reply. I can't wait to read them, although I'm scared too. I know I deserve their reproaches. One of the guards gives out the letters, and before you get each letter, you have to do 50 press-ups. Those will be the happiest press-ups of my life. Tomorrow, I'll make my first trip to the courtroom. This will happen every 12 days for the next 3 months. Then the charges will be brought officially. I've been given my prison uniform, a t-shirt and shorts. Every day, a group of several prisoners goes off to the court, and so I know that just like them, I'll be put in heavy shackles, which they only take off the next day. The chain is just long enough for you to shuffle along. On Eric's advice, I've cut up a sock with a razor blade to protect my ankles from the shackles. I don't want to end up with an infection.
As you read through the diary, it's hard not to feel a growing sympathy for Radek, as he describes and accepts his punishment in conditions that are sometimes almost medieval. There are surprisingly few moments of self-pity. His regret is palpable, and in a prison where death and, ironically, drugs are all around, we witness Radek's growing sense of common humanity. Once back home in the Czech Republic, he spent the last months of his life, when he already knew that he was losing his battle against cancer, visiting Czech schools, telling his own story as a warning to others. At one of literally hundreds of such meetings shortly before his death, Radek Hanikovich spoke to Radio Prague.
Kdyby to odradilo alespoň jednoho žáka nebo studenta střední školy od drog, tak si myslím, že...
Even if I just managed to put one school kid off drugs, then I think that telling my story would be worthwhile. But I also do it for my own sake, because it gives my life some meaning. For the first time in a very long time, I feel useful again. I think it helps me to make up for the evil that I was caught up in.
Více to svoje zlo, kterého jsem byl součástí.
In Thailand, Radek was sentenced to 50 years in prison, and after a year in the custody center, Bombat Pisat, began to serve his sentence at the Bang Quang, or Big Tiger, prison. In the diary, he writes warmly of the support that his family continue to give him, and also of the work of the Czech embassy in trying to make his stay in prison in completely alien circumstances more bearable. The embassy was also instrumental in getting an international agreement signed between the Czech Republic and Thailand, enabling prisoners to serve out their sentences at home. On the basis of this agreement, Radek Hanikovich and his fellow Czech, Emil Novotny, were sent back to the Czech Republic at the beginning of 2004. The last entry in the diary on the 12th of January 2004 reads, "My destination may be another prison, but I feel like a free person. I'm flying home."
Psaní je čistě má záležitost. Měl jsem na Albatrosu odpovědnou redaktorku Ivanu Mergerovou, která mi...
The diary is my own authentic account. The publishers allocated an editor to the diary and she checked through the script. She pointed to a few places where I described something from the point of view of a person who was actually there. And in describing the reality of prison life, I hadn't written it in a way that someone who had never been there would be able to imagine. So I slightly rewrote those parts, so that the reader could imagine and actually understand what it was like.
And
the diary has some extremely powerful passages. Here Radek describes the death of a prisoner with AIDS.
June 20th, 1997. Nicholas died last night. When I first saw him come into our cell, I never dreamed that his journey to death would be so short. Apart from a septic finger, he was as good as normal. In recent weeks, he'd been in the hospital wing a few times, but never more than a couple of days. He was always given a glucose injection. That was the most they did for him. The last few days, he couldn't walk anymore, and the guard in charge of the block allowed him to stay in the cell all day. He probably died in his sleep. Maybe he wasn't even in pain. It struck me as strange, but a few of the heroin dealers started giving him free doses. I don't know if Nicholas had taken the stuff before, but now that he had nothing to lose, it struck me as logical. It made his journey to hell on a black horse a little less painful. It's said that crooks are a rough bunch, but I'm not sure that's really true. Nearly everyone was moved when he died. Just a few idiotic cynics welcomed his death. After all, there'll be more room now for the rest of us in the cell.
Překopal jsem svoje životní hodnoty, kdy už na žebříčku hodnot není na prvním místě materiální.
The values that I held were turned upside down when I realized that material things are not the most important thing. Of course, money is important, but it's not everything to me as it was 10 years ago. What's important for me is to be able to embrace my mother, to sow a bit of joy instead of bitterness and tears. It's also hugely important to me that after 8 years, I can look up into the night sky and see the stars. In prison in Thailand, I never saw the stars.
For a while, the story of Radek Hanikovic and Emil Novotný hit the headlines in the Czech Republic. On an official trip to Thailand in 1999, Václav Klaus, today Czech president but then chairman of the lower house of parliament, briefly visited Radek in prison. The episode is described in the diary. The story of Emil Novotný, who was arrested at the same time, was made into a feature film. He is still serving out his sentence in a Czech jail. Radek was less lucky. 2 years ago, he was granted a temporary release from prison to undergo treatment for lung cancer and cancer of the bladder, without doubt a legacy of his 8 years in prison. He would have been due to restart his sentence in May this year. His book survives, and it is a powerful legacy. Here are the words of the journalist Radek Hromuško, in the short introduction to the diary.
There's no sense in speculating about guilt and innocence. The diary is certainly not an attempt at self-justification. Just let yourself be absorbed by a book filled with fear, hope and despair. For me, Radek Hanekovic is not some hero who diced with death. For me, he's a person who stands up, looks you in the eye and says, "I did wrong." This certainly isn't heroism, but I wonder how many of us would be capable of doing the same thing.
January 11th, 2004. I've just been locked into my cell for the last time, and with a smile I relish the sight of the guard and his rattling keys. I know that I'll never experience this moment again. For the last time, I've had to call out my number, Sibjet, 17, which Vlado will be taking over from me tomorrow. In the morning, I'll be able to pick up my trousers from the head of the block. I've already cleared out my locker apart from a few bits and pieces and my washing things. All the letters I've received are packed up, and I've given away everything I won't be needing anymore. I've passed on the rest of my food to Vlado, along with my cooking things and a few bits of clothing, and above all, my long-serving mattress with its luxurious pillow. It didn't bring me many sweet dreams, but maybe he'll be luckier.